welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. Here on the show, we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. Here on Drive Time Big Q&A, we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I should say, rather. G'day, friends. It's Pastor Will Mawala here, and my co-host tonight is Pastor Brenton Wilkinson. Pastor Brenton, good to have you.
It's nice to be here.
Thank
you for your warm welcome. It's about 43 degrees outside.
Literally.
It's pretty hot.
Oh, man. I think it's 41 degrees today here in Adelaide, South Australia. So it's a warm one here in South Australia. So wherever you're tuning in from, we want to welcome you to our show. It's the first one I'm in because I know, Pastor Brenton, you were in the studio last week with Pastor Gary Hodgkin. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you guys took a wonderful Australia Day special, I understand.
We did.
We praise God for that. So, hey, wherever you may be tuning in from, we want to give you a very warm welcome. This is the Drive Time Show. So if you're new to Faith FM, we go live from our studio here in South Australia, 5 p.m. Adelaide time, weekdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So you may be listening live. You may even be listening to this at a future occasion on our website or on our Faith FM app. But nonetheless, if you're here and you're listening to my voice, thank you for tuning in. As always, we have a book offer that we'll promote in a few moments time. But yeah, every week we kind of look at a different topic and we try and explore, not just for myself and Brenton, but our whole team. For the rest of this week, as we go live from 5 p.m., we'll be covering different aspects of our topic. So without further ado, our theme for this week that we will open up tonight and our team will look forward to this week, we're looking at the topic of astrology, and the theme is entitled, Astrology, Is There a Better Way? So if you're interested in astrology and, yeah, how does this kind of work with, what does the Bible say about astrology? We are going to be looking at all that throughout the course of this week. But tonight in particular, we're looking at the specific question, astrology in the contemporary world, is there a better way?
Yes.
So, Pastor Brenton, when we saw the topic that was presented, my first thoughts when I saw the topic being given to the team, my mind goes way back to when I was a kid in primary school.
Right.
So, before we'd get up and go to school, we'd have the cartoons on, and just before there was a little segment in each and every morning where this lady would come on the TV and do like the horoscopes, and she had a really like this kind of like this soft, almost like somewhat of a mystical voice, and she I still remember
her
face.
Maybe it should be called horoscopes, H-O-R-R-O-R.
Maybe, but I will never forget her face, and she had this really white, long hair, and she kind of spoke like,
sounds
today's day, and she would, just for a few minutes, so every day she'd jump on it, and she would talk about, you know, the stars aligning and all this stuff and the number and, you know, that type of thing. So when I thought of tonight's topic, I kind of thought of horoscopes. Now, I'm not sure if that's directly the same as astrology. There's probably some overlap.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So, Brenton, glad that you're in the hot seat, that you can share with our listeners some of the wisdom you have.
People are going to get a bit of a shock, I believe, as to how many Australians actually believe in astrology. Yeah. We'll come to that a bit later.
Yep. All right. Well, fair enough. So, hey, before we jump into the topic and the break and the book offer, I just wanted for just a couple of minutes, I wanted to start off our show tonight with a very short devotional. Mm-hmm. And so just like to share with our listeners just a quick devotion before we kind of proceed with our show. So, one of the strangest creatures in the world is a flightless bird found only in New Zealand, and it's called the kiwi.
The kiwi.
Yeah, the kiwi. My wife's a kiwi, actually. Well, she's Cook Islander, she was born in New Zealand, a kiwi. Yeah, yeah. I'm a wallaby. So here we go. So the kiwi is the smallest member of the ratite family, which includes the ostrich and the emus. It's unique in several respects. For one thing, it's the only bird in the world that has its nostrils at the end of its beak, which is about one-third of the body length. The kiwi literally sniffs out its food by plunging its long beak below the surface.
Right.
They also have excellent hearing that can even detect a worm wiggling underground. Kiwis live
Seriously?
As, yep. Well, it's an amazing fact because this devotional is from the Amazing Facts. So it must be true.
Oh, it must be.
So here we go.
Google.
Yeah. So here we go. So Kiwis also live as monogamous couples with the bigger female dominating the male. Oh, dear. Who may do most of the incubating of the eggs. And the eggs are huge. The female kiwi has one of the largest egg-to-body weight ratios of any kind, of any bird, sorry. The mature egg averages 20% of the female's body weight, compared to 2% for an ostrich. A 5-pound kiwi lays an egg that weighs just over a pound.
Wow.
It's about half a kilo. A record in the bird kingdom. That would be like an 100-pound woman giving birth to a 20-pound baby.
Ooh.
And the eggs take an exceedingly long time to hatch, up to 80 days, whereas a chicken egg only takes 21 days. Kiwis are often confused for mammals. For one thing, it has wings but cannot fly.
Correct.
Its loose feathers have a hair-like appearance. Its long whiskers, plus the fact that it burrows in the ground, all contribute to the confusion. Some think it's strange that New Zealanders like to call themselves Kiwis, and have made the image of this bizarre bird a national emblem on their money, stamps, and coins. So here's the connection. The Bible teaches that Christians are called to be a peculiar people. But does that mean we are commanded to be wacky or weird? Of course not. It simply means... it simply means that we are special to the Lord.
Yes.
And a quote from the Bible in Exodus 19, verse 5 says, "Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So to those outside the family circle, we might seem strange, but to the Lord we are uniquely loved, just like the Kiwi.
I like it.
So there you have it. Love hearing odd facts about the animal and plant kingdom, which points us always to God the Creator. So that's our little devotional thought. We're going to segue to a break, but before we do that, we want to promote our book offer.
Yeah, we have the book offer, don't we? Yeah.
So you're in for a treat for our listeners out there, because tonight and for the rest of the week, our team will be promoting your very own Bible, the New King James Version gift Bible, with some very handy study helps, Mark Finley study helps, which is, he is a Christian evangelist and Bible teacher, all there in the back. And so it's a hardcover Bible. And so it's, look, this is a great, this is priced at $19.95. If you were to buy this online, you'd be looking at some $20. So we're giving these Bibles away for absolutely free. And so if you are a listener of Faith FM, or you're listening now, and you'd like a free Bible for, say, you may even have one and you want to give it to a friend of yours, all you need to do is you need to pick up your phone and you need to text the code for this particular week. So today's code is SA302. And all you need to do is text that code to the number, to the code, sorry, to the, getting mixed up here, Brennan, to our number, which is 0488 80811. And follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, our free book offer, the Bible. The best gift that we could possibly give you is God's Word. And all you need to do is text the code SA302. So text that code to the number 0488 80811. Follow the prompts and we will send that out to you as soon as we can.
Well, if I could back you up on that.
Yeah, sure.
I encourage people to get this Bible.
Uh-huh.
I use a New King James Study Bible myself. And look, you said that it would normally retail for $20.
Yes,
thereabouts. The value of the Mark Finley Bible studies in the back alone are worth the $20 cost of the book.
Absolutely.
If you had to buy it. So, folk, if you've got a Bible, don't say, "I've got enough Bibles." Just say, "This is a Bible that has some very, very special Bible study references in the back of it. And the New King James Study Bible is a very, very good Bible."
Yep.
So I would say send in for it today. Make sure you tune in on that particular number and put in your request for it.
Absolutely.
This afternoon.
Yeah. So, hey, and by the way, we want to give you a shout out as well. If you're listening and you're able to, drop us a text. We'll be here in the studio for the next hour, 0488 80811. Text us. Let us know where you're tuning in from. We'd love to hear from you. So that's the book offer. We'll promote it a little later in the show. But for now, we're going to go to some music and we'll be back in just a few moments. Please don't go away. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A.
This is my Father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I can hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died will be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died will be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. And earth and heaven be one. Earth and heaven be one.
All right, that was Chris Rice. This is My Father's World, a pretty good song. So welcome back to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. We're coming to you live from our studio here in South Australia. It's Will and Brenton here for today's show. We're looking at the theme, astrology, is there a better way?
Yes.
That's the overall theme, but tonight we're looking somewhat of a part of the topic. Astrology in the contemporary world.
Is there a better way?
So, Pastor Brennan, as we kind of launch the topic for tonight and our team will be pick up different aspects of this topic, what do we learn about astrology as it pertains to the contemporary world and maybe a bit closer to home here in Australia?
Yeah, well, my statistics come from Australia, yeah, obviously. May I say this? When they do surveys of Australians, many Australians these days, probably more than 50% of Australians claim to be spiritual.
Okay.
Now, that's interesting because the statistics that I have found indicate that something like 41 or 42% of all Australians
42%?
Believe in astrology. Now, do you know how many people we have in Australia at the moment? About 27.25 million, I think, round about that mark anyway. So that means, say, 12 or 13 million people in Australia believe in astrology to some degree. When they do these surveys, Will, they don't really break them down. They give you statistics, which is nice to quote on radio.
All right, so 40.
But it really doesn't break down. If you went down and said, okay, you believe in astrology, exactly what do you believe in? Well, that's breaking down a bit further. We don't go that far. But nearly 50% of Australians believe in things like extrasensory perception, ESP. So there's some other thing. Generation Z. Now, I'm not Generation Z. I'm from the baby boomer community.
Yeah.
which was born between 46 and 64. So for some of you, that might give you some idea of my age.
Hey, just
which generation are you from?
I think I'm millennial. I just land in the millennial.
Just in the
millennial. Because I'm born 1980.
They were after us, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor Bennett, before we dive in, just to for sense of clarity, what does astrology mean? What is
astrology actually means? A simple definition of it would be seeking to know your future through the stars, through the heavenly bodies.
Right. So you mean the stars we see?
It. Yeah, the stars.
The stars in the sky, yep.
We got the sun, we got the moon, we got the stars, we got the planets, all of that type of thing. I'll come to it in a minute because I'm going to give you my star sign.
Okay.
And what it means for this week.
I still remember mine too.
Oh, yeah. I should have done yours.
Not that
I don't know when you were born. I don't know what month.
February. So. February.
February. Oh, what are you then? A Pisces?
A Pisces.
Yeah, I thought you'd be a Pisces. Anyway, that's
And what are you?
Me? Cancer.
Oh, right. Okay.
June 21 to
the crab.
July.
The crab.
The crab.
Yeah,
the
crab. I'm the fish.
You're a fish. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Generation Z are those born between the mid-1990s and about 2010. So we're in 2025.
That would be my sister, yeah.
15 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you could have been born back as far as 1995, which makes you now 30 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So the 15 to 30 age bracket, if you want to put it.
Yep.
In their category, 38% of them consider themselves spiritual and over 20% believe in astrology. Here's the statistic that will blow you away.
All right.
A staggering 40% of Australians, and I'm assuming that they're people who believe in astrology, not Australians as a whole. I would like to think so. Anyway, 40% of Australians order their love life by astrology.
Wow.
Seriously. And
that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
And if the Australian population is about, 26 million or something like that.
And here's the other thing.
40% of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And here's the other thing. If you and I were both Generation Z, as I pointed out, and let's say, well, change roles. Let's say you're a young woman of 17 or 18 and I'm a 22, 23-year-old man. I would be checking your star sign before I went on a date with you. Do you believe this?
Wow.
30% of Generation Z's check a potential, obviously it's online, would say. They've probably got a date online. They'd be checking the other person's star sign before they give the thumbs up, so to speak, and let's meet. I find this really, really interesting. Now, Gary suggested that, how is this working in 2025? Well, it's in the media. It's in social media. But I'm only going to give one illustration because I could go on for the next 10 minutes and that's really not what I'm about here. The leading Australian women's magazine is either Women's Weekly or Better Homes and Gardens, depending on which statistic you look at. Both of them have over $1 million. They have over 1 million readers, 1 million people who buy it. And they have a regular column on astrology in them. As I said, I'm a Cancerian or Cancerian, depending on how you pronounce it. This is my predictions for this week. With Mars retrograde in Cancer, hello, what does that mean? Home is where the heart and the heat is. I think we'd agree on that this week. Home is where the heart is most of the time, if not all the time. Is the heat on? Certainly is in South Australia. This transmits. Reminds you that emotional sensitivity can be a source of strength and courage. It supports strongly felt practical action. Furthermore, it is favourable for issues relating to reproductive rights, family, children and housing. That's my star sign for this week.
Wow.
And that's my wisdom for this week. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You're not an astrologer and neither am I. I'm not in a monthly syndicated column or even a weekly syndicated column. Do you reckon you could make something up like that?
Pretty much.
It covers pretty well everything, doesn't it?
Very generic.
So I've got to take action this week because I need to be at home and that's where the heart and the heat is. And I need to be aware of, well, I think as far as reproductive rights go, I'm a bit past that stage. But anyway, you've got family, children and housing. I've got a house.
Yeah.
I've got a son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren. So, how am I meant to order my life this week according to the stars? I wonder. I tried to find the success rate of astrology. I know it's pretty low, but despite my attempts, I could not find anything specific. But the question I think we should be asking ourselves, Will, is why do so many people in 2025 put their faith in a method of foretelling the future, which science refutes as utterly unscientific without a shred of evidence?
Mm.
If you look up anything, whether it's Wikipedia, Google, Encyclopedia Britannica, or any of those things that I consult, you will find that it's considered a pseudoscience. And yet if you lived in the 16th, 17th, or 18th century, astrology actually was held, shall we say, in higher regard than it is now. But I think we live in a much more sceptical society now than we did then.
Yeah.
Probably where we need to start in discussing this, because I want to spend a significant amount of time is on the issue as part of it, is there a better way? The earliest known origins of astrology date back to about 1875 BC. Now, work that out. That's 4,000 years ago, and that's the Babylonians. Astrology was practiced in various parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese, you've heard of the Chinese zodiac.
Yep.
It was practiced by the Mayans in Central America, South America, maybe even North America. Look, it was practiced all over the world, but I'm talking about known origins.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest known origin of astrology was 1875 BC, and they have found tablets, 32 of them actually. They came from Babylon, and they are called the liver tablets. They have inscribed on them livers. Can you imagine this?
Really?
You've got 32 tablets, and each of them has a liver described on it. The methodology used for, you might say, well, how does this work? This is how it works. The methodology used is similar to looking at the planetary directions and all the rest of it. You sacrifice an animal, because there were two ways in the ancient Babylonians. Look at the stars, chart the course of the planets and the other things, and this other way. So you sacrifice an animal, remove its liver, and the blemishes, get this, the blemishes and marks on the liver are symbols and messages from the gods to the king. Now, the chief god of Babylon, as you know, was Marduk.
Okay.
Marduk wasn't the only god. This is where ancient paganism and Christianity clash badly, because we believe in one god.
Yeah.
In a Babylonian society, if you were amongst the intelligentsia, Marduk was your chief god, but he wasn't the only god. And the gods were all jealous of one another. So trying to divine how's my future by listening to these guys. So what I need to do is kill a goat, have a look at the liver. And the marks and the blemishes on the liver are symbols, and they give me an idea as to, hello, what the future holds.
Mm.
We'll get to that in a minute anyway. I've listed some famous people who were guided by the stars, or are guided by the stars today. And if people listening don't recognise these, they obviously don't know a great deal about modern entertainment. Angelina Jolie is a very strong believer in astrology.
Really?
These people are not people who read the charts every day. They would probably have their own personal readings. I mean, these guys are rich enough and famous enough that they can call in the best psychics, the best astrologers, and bring them in and get a personal reading. Madonna is another one.
Wow, okay.
Beyonce, I've read about Beyonce a few times. Cameron Diaz, Selena Gomez, and others.
So these are people who...
These are people
not who, just have some type of hobbyist type of approach.
I think these people are deadly serious the stars. They would not do anything, I would imagine, any day of the week without consulting their horoscope.
Oh, interesting.
And that sort of thing. So what's interesting is going back a little bit further, You might have heard of President Ronald Reagan, one of the best-known presidents of the United States. He left power just before the 1990s. His wife, Nancy, was very heavily involved in astrology. Back in 1981, there was an attempt on Ronald Reagan's life by a guy called John Hinckley, and Ronald Reagan was nearly killed. It was a fairly closely run thing. And it was after that that Nancy Reagan turned to astrology. She met this woman called Joan Quigley, who was a psychic from San Francisco. And she said to her, "If I had known in advance that this assassination attempt was coming, could I have done anything to protect my husband?" So all of this seems to have started out really with the best of intentions, and that is, obviously, I don't want my husband to be shot in office.
Yeah.
And this psychic told her that she could. So from 1981 to 1987, and this is where it gets really, really interesting, the White House, if you read the references to Donald Reagan, who was the head of the White House from 85 to 87, he says that no decision was made in the White House without consulting this psychic.
Really?
Now, you stop and think about the ramifications of that. What was happening during the late 1980s? The Cold War was coming to an end. Détente was coming in. There was a whole heap of stuff going on. And no decision, according to this man, who should have known, being the White House, he said no decision was made without Nancy consulting this psychic Joan Quigley before they carried out whatever it is. So you've got political decisions, you've got business decisions, you've got all sorts of decisions that are being made on behalf of the American public. And little did they know that she was consulting a psychic. Of course, I could go back even further, but the only other one that I'd mention is Adolf Hitler. It is suggested by a number of sources that he consulted psychics regularly during World War II. I just wonder sometimes how many of the Allied commanders also consulted psychics. We don't really know.
Yeah.
So all in all, that's a very, very brief background to where did astrology come from. And the story that we're going to talk about is set around the year 600 BC. So it's back in Babylon. Do we go to a break at this point?
Yeah, we might go to a break before we...
Let's go to a break, and then I will launch into Is There Another Way? We have presented the fact that so many people consult the stars. We've presented the fact that the success rate of these people is not very good, and yet people still consult them.
Yeah.
Is there a better way? That's the second part of our program. Is there something from the Word of God that would help us to say, is there somebody who really does know the future and who we should trust rather than consulting a horoscope every day? Because seriously, my stars for this week tell me nothing. If I was just the average Joe Blow, the average Australian sitting there going, oh, are you serious? All of this is supposed to influence my decision-making this week? Well, many people are serious, and they are sincere in believing that it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're going to get onto that right after the break, but we wanted to go to a book offer. But before we do, Brendan, we can see on the screen, we have a gentleman, Arthur, who's listening from New South Wales. Hey, thank you, Arthur, for tuning in today in our live show. We received your information. We'll get that Bible out to you as soon as we can.
Thank you,
so
Arthur.
Thank you for listening and supporting Faith FM. Blessings to you wherever you are in New South Wales. God bless. So, hey, so our free book offer is, as we just mentioned, the Bible. So we are offering to you, our listeners, an opportunity to receive a free copy of the New King James Version Gift Bible with Finley Helps, which is Pastor Mark Finley. He's an evangelist, led many, many people to the Lord, and all his study notes and study guides are in the back of this particular hardcover Bible. So if you would like a free copy of this Bible, retailed at $19.95, we're giving it to you absolutely free. All you need to do is text the code for today, and the code is SA302. And once again, the code is SA302. And you need to text that code to our number, 0488 88811. Follow the prompts and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, we're going to promote the free Bible, New King James Version, valued at $20. All you need to do for the free copy is text the code SA302 to our number 0488 88811, and we will get that book to you as soon as we can. So we got a lot more to share. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus,
Moon, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen to that. Hey, thank you for tuning in. We're just over the halfway mark here on Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. We want to say thank you to wherever you are tuning in from. And so just over the break, we had another caller text in for the book offer. So to Fiera Chang.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's Fiera or Fiera.
Chang, who's correct, listening from Fiera. New South Wales. Hey, apologies if we got your name a bit mixed up there, but we've received your text and your details. We will get that Bible out to you as soon as we can. So thank you for listening, Fiera, and we hope that – and well, actually, she says here in her message, I enjoy listening to your Drive Time show. It's very informative and very interesting.
Thank you,
Fiera. So praise God, praise God. Thank you so much for your support. So we've got a bit more to go in the show. So here we go, Brenton.
Yeah.
Talking about astrology in the contemporary world – is there a better way? You've just been unpacking, I guess, some of the background of astrology.
A very, very brief summary of the history of astrology as recorded. We went back before the break to the year 1875 BC, where they found 32 tablets.
Oh, liver tablets, you
liver tablets. Not liver tablets that I take when my liver's playing up. These are tablets that they found, probably clay tablets of some type.
Yeah.
And they have livers actually on them.
Goodness. What, like a picture of them?
Yeah, pictures or goodness, engravings or whatever.
Interesting.
And this gives you a bit of an idea, because when we come to our story in a minute that we're going to share from Daniel chapter 2, Part of the group that Daniel belonged to were known as Chaldeans, as you probably are aware. And Chaldeans, one of the things they would have done is check the livers of sheep, which is exactly what I'm saying. Even though that happened in 1875 BC, you can come down now to roughly the year 600, 602 BC, round about that period of time, 1,200 years in advance. They're still basically using the methodology. Do you know where their astrological charts come from today? I didn't research that, but in the past, I'm sure I've read somewhere, these astrological charts that they're using now have been used for a very, very, very long time, like hundreds of years.
Wow.
So, you know, you've got to...
Nothing new under the sun, or else.
If we're in an advanced civilization, if we are people who question everything, who are skeptics and that sort of thing, you'd have to say, why is there still a fascination with something that is a pseudoscience, something that, yes, it is accurate on occasions. I think you have to be honest. Mm. But its success rate is not so good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to trust somebody who has 100% success rate and who never makes a mistake or never makes a prediction that doesn't come true? So where did I start? I thought, well, okay, let's go back to the beginning of the Bible. Because if astrology is about the stars and the planets and their various alignments and all of that sort of thing, and somehow we can determine our present destiny and our present and future destinies from those, what does the Bible have to say? So I'm going to share with you a certain day of creation, which we all know well. It says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let there be signs and seasons and days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heaven, to give light to the earth. And it was so. Then God made great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, that's basically Moses talking, as you know, because Moses wrote the book of Genesis. What do you learn and what do you not learn from this text? One thing you do learn from this text is it has nothing to say about the ability of the sun, the moon, or the stars, or the planets influencing our lives in any way other than providing A, in the sun's case, warmth, heat, and light, and in the moon's case, light at night.
Yep.
And of course, we all know what the daily cycle is. It's one cycle of the earth. And we know what a month is. And we know what a year is. Where the, what is it? The earth makes one rotation around the sun in 1 year. So what do we learn from going back to creation? We learn this. We learn that God set these things in place for a purpose. But the purpose wasn't to determine the future. The purpose was to provide for our needs, to provide warmth for us, to provide growing. As you know and I know, if you grow a garden, and I do grow a garden, without warmth, you're not going to grow too much.
Yeah.
So God put these things in place not only so that we could see what we were doing and so we could keep warm. He put these things in place so that plants could grow, and all these things. He put all of those things in place. And he did it for a reason, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the issue of, well, how is that going to help me tell my future? But when you go over to the book of Deuteronomy, and you know this text probably as well as I do, every time I read this, I say to myself, God was pretty hot on this issue, and he obviously felt strongly enough about it that he told his people that they were not to take part in any of these practices. It says, there shall be found, and I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's talking about human sacrifice. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. I'm going to stop there. Mm-hmm. God makes it very, very clear. Why? Why does he not want us to be involved in these activities? I believe he doesn't want us to be involved in the activities because he says, if you want to know the future, read my word. Read prophecy and see how it's been fulfilled. Read the promises that I've made and trust me because they're going to be fulfilled as well.
Yep.
But as we move on in our studies, there is a good example found in the book of Daniel. Now, for those who are listening, and you have to assume, Will, when you're on air, that all sorts of people are listening to your program.
Yeah.
You have to assume that some of them are Christians. You have to assume that some people don't know anything much about Christianity at all. So let me give you a little bit of a background on this guy, Daniel. Daniel was from actually the kingly line of Judah. And when Judah went into captivity, the first lot of captives that were taken captive were 605 BC. So Daniel and his three friends, whom we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or alternatively by their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, these guys were probably about 16 or 17 years of age when they were taken captive. They were taken to Babylon, and they were trained in the absolute top education system of Babylon. They were trained to take positions in the king's court.
Mm.
They were trained to be administrators. Nebuchadnezzar was no idiot. Conquered nations, he would take the brightest of their conquered nations and he would bring them to Babylon and train them in the ways that he wanted them to be. Then he would often send them back to the provinces or areas, maybe not where they came from, but another conquered area where they would be the administrator. Who would they be loyal to? They'd be loyal to him.
Yeah.
Because he had provided their education, their food, their clothing. He'd provide everything. Everything they had, they owed to him. So here we have Daniel. In chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Now, Nebuchadnezzar reigned for about 40 years, and yes, he was a historic figure. But what's interesting in light of our study for tonight is simply this. He had this dream, it bothered him, and he brought in the astrologers, it says in the scripture here, he brought them all in, and the soothsayers, and he said, I've had a dream. And you know what, guys? I can't remember the dream. And they said, well, King, you tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. And he goes, no, I don't think so. I pay you guys good monies. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to consult the livers of sheep. You're supposed to consult the movement of clouds across the heavens in the evening. You're supposed to look at sunsets. You're supposed to look at the flights of the birds. All of these things you claim tell you the future. They give you signs or omens, portents of what the future is. You tell me what I dreamed, and furthermore, you tell me what the interpretation of that dream is. Notice their response, which I found particularly interesting. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, on the surface of that seems fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar didn't take this very well. He said, I know what you guys are up to. He said, you tell me what I dreamed or else I'm going to have you cut in pieces and your houses made dunghills. Because you know what? I'm starting to seriously question whether you guys really know what you're talking about. So the chief executioner starts rounding up the wise men. Unfortunately, Daniel and his three friends were included in that group. When he comes to arrest them, Daniel says, hey, what's going on? What's the hurry? What's the haste? So he talks to Arioch, who was the chief executioner, and he says, look, let me go in and talk to the king. So Arioch obviously arranged for him to go in to see the king, and he said to the king, give me a day and I'll interpret the king's dream. And then it says in verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed is the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. There's not any suggestion in this chapter, Will, what we're reading so far. There's not even a skerrick of a suggestion that you should be looking to the heavens or the livers of sheep or anything like that to determine these things. That they cannot help you. They cannot help you to know what the dream was that the king had or what the interpretation thereof was. So that's the scenario. I don't know about you, but if it had been me, I tell you what, I reckon the prayer meeting that night that those young guys engaged in would have been
pretty intense.
Pretty intense, and I reckon they would have been full on, Lord, help us, because if you don't help us, we're going to be executed along with these guys, even though we haven't got anything to do in it. Do we have another book offer, a promotion at this stage? We'll keep going.
Keep
rolling through. Okay. So, anyway.
So, can I just say something before you go? It seems to me like from the Bible, what you were reading earlier in Deuteronomy and this story. Yeah.
God takes this matter pretty seriously.
That astrology, this idea of trying to read.
He says, don't do it.
It's something that the God of the Bible tells his people to steer clear away from.
Okay. Why? Yeah. In your mind, why?
Yeah. I guess when you were reading Deuteronomy, because it talked about, you know, familiars, you know, had a collection of people.
Oh, yeah.
And then it said something right at the end about all those who claim to summon the dead or something like that. That's the thing that caught me.
I didn't touch on that today, but yes.
Yeah, but that kind of struck me because it seems like everything in that space is something that is clearly...
forbidden.
Yeah, forbidden. Oh. So, which is very interesting because, like you're saying, statistics today is 40% plus people in Australia are very open
to this. Who believe in astrology. Yeah. They're open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could put it that way. Anyway, it's very, very interesting because in Isaiah 47:13, Isaiah says this. I found this interesting because it's actually prophesying the downfall of Babylon. Now, Babylon fell, as you know, I think it was 538 BC. I mentioned earlier on about Belshazzar and how he brought these astrologers and the wise men and the Chaldeans in to interpret the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's... isn't that a term that we still use today writing in Australia? The writing's on the wall. You read it in the sports column. You read it in the political columns. Yep. The writing's on the wall. What does it mean?
Yep.
It means exactly what Daniel 5 said. Yep. The writing's on the wall. Your time is nearly up.
Time is up.
So anyway, this is what Isaiah says.
Where were you going? Isaiah 47.
Isaiah 47, verse 13 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
I found this really interesting. He's talking to the Babylonians. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators. Now, there's a big word for you, Will. Don't use that in your sermon next week. The monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. God is challenging these people and saying, you know what? All the practices you do, you're gazing at the stars and all that sort of thing. Do you know what? Doom's coming upon your nation.
Mm.
And looking at all these things is not going to do a scrap of good to save you. But anyway, back to Daniel chapter 2. I want to share this because this is, I think, so important. He says, the king says to him, Daniel, whose name, are you able to make known the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel says, he answers in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days, your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. And then he goes on to tell him, you know, we got the head of gold, we got the chest of silver, we got the thighs of brass, we got the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay. And then he goes on to point out that this Nebuchadnezzar is basically the history of the world.
Yeah.
Because the rock that comes along and destroys it is the second coming of Jesus.
Amen.
So notice what Nebuchadnezzar says at the end of it. I don't know about you, have you ever wondered about this? Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. This, to me, suggests worship.
Mm.
Did Daniel allow him to worship him? I don't believe Daniel would have. There's no record here as to what Daniel actually said to him. Remember, he's a heathen king. Heathen kings worshipped.
Yeah.
What was the modus operandi of worship? You bow down, head down,
yeah,
right down. And anyway, the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God, I find this interesting, is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. Now, what it's saying and what it's not saying is quite interesting, this verse. Your God is the God of gods. He hasn't yet reached the point, because this is his first real interaction with the God of heaven in a formal sense. He hasn't yet reached the point where he says there's really only one God. You have to go to Daniel chapter 4 before you get to that particular point. But he is recognizing that. Do you know how many gods they worshipped in Babylon? About 300.
300, wow.
Seriously. You've got Marduk as the chief god, but then you've got all these lesser gods.
Okay.
And they've all got their place in the, you know. And they believed that if you looked at the stars and looked at the planets and all these sort of things, that the gods were revealed in these particular things. He's recognizing here that here is a young man who's gone home with his friends. Nebuchadnezzar probably doesn't know what he's been doing. He probably doesn't know that he's been praying. He comes back in calmly and he says, can you tell me what I dreamed? And he says, I can't tell you, but there is a God in heaven who can tell you. And this is what you dreamed. Can you just imagine it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar? He's probably leaning for him. He's probably attending. I think that's the term we use
edge
these
of his
days.
Seat.
When you're interviewing someone or doing something like that, when people are attending, you've got their attention.
Yeah. Yep.
They're with you. I bet Nebuchadnezzar was leaning right forward, and this is what you dreamed. You saw in your vision, in your dream, you saw an image. Huge. Because why did God give him a dream about an image? Because images were what they worshipped.
Yeah.
Makes common sense. So the bottom line is, what do we learn from this? I think in summary, we could say this, Will, or we probably should say this. We should say something along the lines of, folk, for the 42% of you or 41% of you in Australia who believe in astrological charts, can I plead with you to get a Bible, open the Bible and read it. Read Daniel chapter 2 for yourself. Also read Daniel chapter 5, where again they come up short.
Mm.
And you'll realize there is a God in heaven who not only knows the past, he knows the present and he knows the future.
Absolutely.
And he wants you to be on board with him. He wants you to accept him as the only God who can foretell the future. Mm. Have you got any thoughts on this as we close?
I was just thinking, you know, as pastors and as we sit down and study with people, often the first time topic that we tend to introduce to people to is who God is.
Yes.
And his attributes. And the text that comes to my mind is that I think it's in Isaiah 46 verses 9 and 10 where the Bible says that God declares the end from the beginning.
I think you're right.
And that's why
I haven't got it open, but I'm pretty sure it's 46, 9 and 10, he says there is no other God other than me who tells the end from the beginning and things yet to come.
Yes. And so this idea of God that can see the future, as it were, and he can see everything as in the present. That's what we try and communicate to people.
I think so.
That the Bible introduces a God who is all-knowing. He is all-powerful.
But he's also loving. Why does he reveal the future? We don't know everything about the future, but he reveals enough to show us that if you trust me, I'll keep leading you.
Yeah.
But first of all, you've got to put your trust in me. And we all know that, you know, when you're coming to know somebody for the first time, like a child, I mean, I did a child dedication over the weekend at church.
Beautiful.
Never met this kid before. So I'm playing peekaboo with her when I was out at the house talking to the parents.
Yeah.
She looked at me the first time. She probably thought, who's this crazy guy? But after I'd done it three or four times, she started smiling. She's starting to loosen up. There's starting to be a connection there, you see. Yeah. Anyhow, have you got any other thoughts?
I just thought that that it's a beautiful topic, and it's something about the character of God that is revealed in Scripture, that God – and this is the beautiful thing of that story in the book of Daniel is that – to me, it was as if though God was—he was behind it all.
He was.
He was the director, if you will, leading this whole story.
He's directing the program.
Yes.
Nebuchadnezzar's only one of the bit players.
Yes.
But he's wanting to get a message through to Nebuchadnezzar. Your guys have let you down. They couldn't tell you what the dream was. They couldn't tell you what the interpretation was. But my servant Daniel, I've revealed it to him.
Amen.
And he's told you what you dreamed and what the interpretation is.
Yeah, praise God. Hey, thanks, Pastor Brendan, for opening that up for us tonight. Just
give me
a quick rundown So tomorrow we've got in the studio Gary and Lindy. They're going to be looking at the question, what does the Bible say about astrology and the zodiac?
Right.
On Wednesday we've got Gary as well with Ricardo. They'll be looking at the question, is our future preordained? Later on Thursday, we got Fabiano and Finne. They'll be looking at the question, does the Bible have anything to say about healing crystals?
Now,
interesting.
That will be an interesting one.
And then right at the end of the week, on Friday, we got Nick and Scott. They'll be looking at the question, could astrology be just harmless fun? So that's a bit of a preview of where our team will be headed with this particular theme. And so, we want to encourage you to listen in. 5 p.m. we go live here in Adelaide from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then we will, we will have the book offer with the free Bible each and every live show. So without further ado, it's time for Brendan and I to sign off from the studio.
Yeah, thanks for your time, guys.
So please join Gary and Lindy as they look at the question about astrology and the zodiac. But until then, we want to leave you with the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and 27. And the words of Jesus are these, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." On behalf of the Faith FM Drive Time team, may God bless you, and we'll see you next time.